Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. I am your host, Kelly Newcomb.
And I am Chelsea Heasel, and we are so thankful that you have joined us today. If you're new to the podcast, we welcome you. We love coming alongside all the parents out there who are bravely working to limit screen-based childhoods and delay access to smartphones and social media and video games for their kids. So if you love the show, you can support us by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And then if you could, share the show with your friends.
All right, friends, we have a few announcements before we get kicked off with the topic today. And we don't normally have announcements, but these are pretty good ones. So first, our Brave Parenting Guide to Old School Summer is out on braveparenting.net. We heard a lot of great feedback on the case for the DVD player. So we created it, a complete guide giving you lots of different ideas of how you can sort of rekindle that 80s or 90s summer that you might have grown up with and help your kids have that same screen-free fun that you did. So if you are already wrestling with the woes of screen time and boredom, go to braveparenting.net, check out our brand new Brave Parenting Guide to Old School Summer. And our second announcement is regarding Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation. We have had this as our recommended resource in our Bullet Points newsletter a couple of months ago, which if you don't subscribe to the Bullet Points newsletter, you should. You can do that. There's a link in the show notes. Now, if you haven't read The Anxious Generation, I really do say it is a must read. It is everything Brave Parenting has been saying about screen-based childhoods, but interestingly enough, it's not from a Christian point of view at all. It's from a scientific and an atheist point of view. In fact, Chelsea, I think that we might just have to do a podcast specifically on the book's spirituality chapter because I find it fascinating to see how he sort of creates new ways of dancing around God's existence. But nevertheless, my point here is that he and his people on his Substack, which is titled After Babel, intriguing biblical name, nonetheless, they are kicking off a No Phone Friday challenge. And I love this idea. I think it's a great idea. That's just why I'm telling you all about it. It's specifically meant for Gen Z. They really hope to motivate kids and young adults to go an entire summer day without their phone in order to discover the joy and the freedom of being unattached and disconnected. And with parents' permission, if they're under 18, what they hope to get is just shared stories and testimonies that can provide just a powerful testimony to the watching world, to other parents who are just not yet convinced that kids should be on their phones less. So they're working on gathering that up. They're also going to email you if you sign up. They'll email you like these motivation tips and different stories. And so it may be something good, maybe something that you can suggest to one of your teens just to get them to be screen free for at least a day. So check out the link in the show notes for Phone Free Friday Challenge if you are interested in that. All right, so let's roll into our topic today. And we've titled this The Internet to the Ends of the Earth because we are going to talk about a recent New York Times article. It actually came out on June 2nd, and the title is The Internet's Final Frontier, Remote Amazon Tribes. Now, I just want to thank my mother-in-law who sent this to me at like 5 a.m. the day that it came out before I could even get my hands on it and insisted that I read it and that we talk about it. So here we are. It is a great article. And I think that it's going to be an important subject for us to talk about because it really offers parents a compelling look as to why we as Christians, as Americans, delay for the purpose of discipleship.
Exactly. So to summarize, the indigenous tribe of the Marubu people who live deep in the Amazon rainforest, they have preserved their way of life for centuries in complete isolation from the outside world. But since September of 2023, thanks to Elon Musk's Starlink, the 2,000-member tribe has had internet access, and the New York Times ended up traveling there to understand what had happened to this tiny closed-off civilization that was suddenly opened to the world. So just to note, Starlink is the satellite-based high-speed internet service from SpaceX. So the story goes on to say that one of the leaders of the tribe, he saw great potential from the internet and what it could give his people. New autonomy, better communication, it could inform themselves, and they could tell their own story. So he asks one of the Marubu members who lived outside of the tribe for some time how they could get internet. He then posted a video asking for help and connections, and lo and behold, 20 antennas were purchased for them, and they were carried miles into the Amazon rainforest on the backs of men along with smartphones.
Now let's pause here, because this is going to be really important to note that the exact reasons that this tribal leader gave as to why they felt like the internet had such great potential, they're the exact reasons that are given by young teens and tweens, even children, as to why they either need the internet or need the smartphone. These are the lies of autonomy, better communication, information, and telling your story. And these lies trap them into this smartphone obsession and living constantly online. So let's just look at those. First, autonomy. The online world makes kids feel like they are adults, which is very dangerous to be a kid in an adult and often very corrupted, profane place like social media or the internet in general. Because kids don't then get this proper childhood, they aren't ready to then enter into proper adulthood. And this, many would argue, is a problem with Gen Z today. We've given them such autonomy at young ages online that they never got that great play-based childhood. Okay, so another one that they listed was better communication. Well, we all know that the internet provides more communication and it provides instant communication. But most of us would argue that it is certainly not better communication, especially for kids. What is better is to talk face-to-face, to talk in a more synchronous manner where you are reading facial expressions and seeing body language while you're talking. That is truly what is best communication for kids to learn from. The next lie that this tribal leader gave that our teens also give us is information. And well, yeah, I think we all know that there is a lot of information on the internet that kids just don't need to know. So much, too much information that they don't need to know. And then the final one, right, telling their own story. This has just suddenly become a right for children, like a human right somehow, like that you get to share your own story. But ultimately, it is just the overflow of expressive individualism, which is a just self-centered worldview that makes a person's experiences their absolute truth. And essentially, they become their own God because they have their own absolute truth. So yeah, we all like to tell stories. But not all stories need to be told to the global audience, which is what the internet does. So that's a real nuanced thing. I think that it's important for us to recognize that what our teens are saying here in America are also what tribal leaders without the internet are also seeing as these potential benefits. And as we know, these benefits come at a cost. So let me continue on with a little of the summary. The article goes on to describe what happened when they got the internet and these smartphones. Now, listen to these quotes. These are just direct quotes from this New York Times article. Quote, when it arrived, everyone was happy. But now, things have gotten worse. Young people have gotten lazy because of the internet. They're learning the ways of the white people. Under a picture, which was very dark in general and just had some teen girls with their faces aglow from their phones. The subtitle under the picture said, many of the Marubu people have signed up for Facebook and Instagram accounts since Starlink arrived in their village. Also, another quote, quote, the internet was an immediate sensation. It changed the routine much that it was detrimental. In the village, if you don't hunt, fish, and plant, you don't eat. Another quote, some young people maintain our traditions, says one of the first women leaders who's 42 years old. She said, quote, others just want to spend the whole afternoon on their phones. Another quote, everyone is so connected that sometimes they don't even talk to their own family. And then a father of three said that he was happy the internet was helping to educate his children, but he was concerned with the first-person shooter games his two sons began to play. He tried to delete the games, but believed his sons had other hidden apps. And finally, another quote from the article says, after only 9 months with Starlink, the Marubu are already grappling with the same challenges that have racked American households for years. Teenagers glued to phones, group chats full of gossip, addictive social networks, online strangers, violent video games, scams, misinformation, and minors watching pornography. This makes me so sad. It's tragic.
It really is. What struck me, Kelly, is that the journalist who wrote that the rest of the world has dealt with these problems already, like the ones you just listed, I would argue we have not dealt with them, but rather we are still dealing with them. Tragically so. There's no past tense dealt when kids are committing suicide, when they're caught in sextortion rings and changing their genders because of TikTok rabbit holes of radical ideology. Like we haven't fixed the problems. We're still engaged with them and we don't know what to do.
I think what's interesting is we don't know what to do and we've been grappling with it for a while. Yet, how did they not know of these problems? That's what I find interesting. How, I guess, are they so isolated that no one ever told them, hey, actually, we've been dealing with this for about 15 years. You may want to be warned.
Yeah. And honestly, for the safety of the kids' sake too. Like you may not, they could have TikTok, but you probably don't want them to have TikTok. Like there was no communication about the good, the bad, and the evil.
Right.
That comes with the internet. But the other thing that struck me about the story was the proselytizing. By bringing in the internet, the tribal people, they were converted to believe new things. I don't know if I could say that the internet in and of itself has a great commission, but surely the makers of tech products have some kind of great commission. And they want to spread that message of human secularism to the ends of the earth. I think in a way, China is actually experiencing this too, because women have been indoctrinated into Western ideas. They no longer want to have children. And we as Christians, we tend to get a bad rap because we have a great commission to go make disciples. And then those disciples are to obey everything Jesus has commanded. And yes, culture is influenced by Judeo-Christian values in that process, but not for the worse. It's for the better. Critical institutions like marriage and family that are good for the flourishing of society are made stronger. But in this instance, in this kind of proselytizing, the institution of the family, a critical part of any society, is absolutely being pulled apart. This is wrong.
Yeah, that just that quote is that they're in disbelief that families aren't even talking to one another. Something that was so fundamental. And probably they never thought would ever change. How could we as family and we as humans not communicate? And so, yeah, it's almost mind-boggling. What I was struck by as well was that when the other woman said that people no longer want to keep the tribe's traditions. They just want to sit on their phones all day. And this is what happens when a child is exposed to the world and all of its trappings before an age where their identity is fully formed. If any listeners out there have seen our presentation on social media, the greatness and the downfalls, we talk about this. If you were to take three different people from maybe Hollywood, a second or third world country, and you know someone on a cattle farm in Oklahoma, and they all have different lives, but if you give all of them a smartphone, their lives will start looking the same. Because they're influenced by this, as you said, great commission that is somehow indoctrinating them into secular humanism, expressive individualism, just all of these lies that completely are antithesis to the true meaning of humanity, of relationships, of community. So the fact that these indigenous young people no longer want to be a part of their ancient traditions, I think this is equivalent to the 12-year-old American Christian no longer wanting to be a part of the church or to profess faith in Christ or to live a life worthy of Christ after they've had social media. Why are they walking away from what has been the basic building block of society? That is the identification with a family and a group. They're walking away because Satan has taken them to the highest point of the world and offered them everything the internet has to offer, right? It's just like in Matthew, when Jesus goes into the wilderness and is tempted by Satan, he he brings them to the top of, you know, the highest point. And he says, all of this can be yours if you bow down and worship me. And Satan tempts every young person with the same type of thing. All the riches of this, of the social environment of this world, and you can have fame and all of this power. And sadly, young people are just so naive that they fall for it. But all that to say, here's the best part of the article. What I thought was, they say, quote, the leaders realized they needed limits.
Yeah, I still probably would have read the article based on that title alone. Absolutely. Yeah. This has been the message that we've been shouting from the rooftops for the past 8 years. Everyone who has a child and has an internet-connected smartphone or device will tell others, you need limits. You have to have limits. Unfortunately, no one told them about that. And still today, there are so many families, entire people groups, they're doing it the hard way. They're diving straight into the deep end of no limits and no restrictions, only then to try and save themselves from drowning, trying to walk it back. And it's so hard to do that once you've been indoctrinated into these worldviews. And that's what the Marubu people realized. It should be something that we, at least as modern Americans who have wrestled with this for a solid 15 years, should already know. If you're listening, you probably already know, but it needs to be something that we all need to be talking about, sharing stories like this with new parents and parents about to consider a tablet or smartphone for their kid, especially in the church family. These tribal leaders are rightfully concerned with how they can preserve the traditions that they have held, that have held their people together for centuries, when the influence of the world has been now given a seat at their table. And this is the same for Christians. Young people are often walking away from their faith, but especially their biblical worldview, not when they go to college, but when you give them a smartphone. So if we take the Great Commission seriously, and we should, to go and make disciples of all nations, that starts first in our homes. And we must be discipling our children in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. But we can only do that if we delay access to the internet, if we delay access to smartphones, if we delay access to social media. So the Marubu people decided, and this is a quote, the internet would be switched on for only 2 hours in the morning, 5 hours in the evening, and all day on Sunday. They put limits in place.
Yeah. And they discussed how they wanted the internet turned off during the times of meetings so that the leaders weren't recorded and maybe their words taken out of context or some of their maybe secret type of things being shared around the world. And they also wanted to keep young people's attention so that they weren't on their phones instead of listening and participating in the meeting.
I'll tell you what, Kel. There's some public schools that could benefit from that tribal wisdom right now.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. It's true. The distractions, they are for real. They are for real. And they're recognizing that obviously immediately. They're saying, hey, we want you to pay attention, so we're going to turn the internet off. Yeah. Schools could really benefit from that. And that, like I said, that's just that they're recognizing in order to maintain life. And if nothing else, to eat, to simply eat, because the people have gotten lazy and they don't want to do the work that enables them to eat, that now the distraction of the internet must be limited. So if we look at our society today, you know, not only are our young people mentally unhealthy, they are so distracted that they are not learning as kids did 10 to 15 years ago. And the education standards are just dropping because of this lack of learning. And what we're experiencing, and we're all just kind of saying, oh no, it's fine, more tech in school or whatever. You know, the Marubu people are going to probably continue to experience down the road. And I would just love if you just learn from us. Like, please keep those limits in place. Do not embrace more. More does not seem to be the answer from where we stand right now. Doesn't seem like our ability of humans to self-control and limit on our own makes that possible. So overall, I would say I just find this whole indigenous internet case study just so fascinating, because it doesn't matter if a child has grown up with internet-based communication and entertainment and such. It doesn't matter if you had it from age, you know, birth on, or if you get it at age, you know, 12 in the indigenous tribes of the Amazon. Kids will wrestle with their identity and desire the things of this world, no matter how much exposure they've had before. Does that make sense? Like, these poor teenagers of this indigenous tribe are immensely wrestling with their identity, even though they've had solid tradition up until this time. And that's because that age of adolescence of identity formation is so crucial. It is so precious that we as parents, all parents around the globe, need to protect it as the most precious treasure. That is how we as Christians can continue the faith, protect the traditions that we have had for thousands of years, is by helping kids form their identity, not in the ways of the world, but in the ways of what is true. So these tribal teens, you know, have grown up with solid community, solid, you know, communication, traditions. And then one day, Instagram comes, Pornhub comes, first-person shooter games come, and wrecks everything that they've learned about their tradition and turns them towards this dark side of autonomously seeking satisfaction from the pleasures of the world.
Yeah, it is. It truly is tragic when you just kind of think about what it's done to their community. And at the end of the article, it was even more sad, at least to me. They had ultimately decided that the internet comes at a cost, and it is a cost they have to pay because, and this is a direct quote, "going back is not an option because we cannot live without the internet." And it's sad. It's sad because it's true, Kelly. It's true for us in America. It's true for you and me. But that doesn't mean that it has to be true for our children as well. They can indeed have an almost internet-less childhood, and they should. That's why we wrote the guide to embrace an old school summer, the summers before the internet's algorithm started dictating everyday life instead of adventure and curiosity and boredom. And I tell my kids this all the time. I said, I will never apologize for giving you an internet-less childhood. I won't. And they are now saying, like, thank you. Like, it's different for them with their peers because of what they had. They're seeing the difference.
Absolutely. I think the Marubu people are a perfect example of why we need to delay access right from the start. And when I say right from the start, I'm talking like a birth. We delay access from birth. And then as the child grows up, we limit access, not just for the child, all people, all of us, right? Because it's not good for any of us to be online all the time, ignoring reality, ignoring our creational purpose of worship, work, and relationships. So I hear a lot that, well, I don't let my toddler watch a screen or have my phone, but they instantly know how precious my phone is. You know, they take it out of my hand and they just want to hold it. And I think that's because our lives are reflecting that this is the most important object of my life. And I don't have an infant right now, so I can't say that I can speak to that exactly. But if you are a young parent of a toddler, I just want you to meditate and think about what that means. Is it because we're taking so many pictures and that phone is just like in their face? Or is it because they just see us on it all the time? But when we say limit, it's all of us. That means that we are imitating, we are representing what our child is to imitate. And so if we are limiting their access, that means we need to limit ourselves as well. Y'all, bedtime comes early for toddlers, like it should, right? 7 o'clock. And then you've got some hours to check your bank account, to check the ESPN scores. You can do all of that later. And so I think that this is just a really great example of the importance of still, of balancing rhythm in your home, of work, of yes, some entertainment, of yes, some of what you need to do maybe on your phone, but also just relationships. Relationships are always what seems to go first, and that shouldn't be.
Kelly, I couldn't agree more. And I would just add this, since we're talking about maintaining and sharing the traditions of our faith with our children, I would try to pick up some books from the series Christian Heroes Then and Now that you can read with your kids this summer. Your library may have them, but they're also available on Amazon and on like christianbook.com. These books are amazing. If you don't know where to start, consider the ones on Jim Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot, or C.S. Lewis. There's a Corrie ten Boom or even a Dietrich Bonhoeffer. There is, side note, a very cool book about Dietrich Bonhoeffer that was written and illustrated in a comic book form that my kids really enjoyed. It was actually one of the books that my son kind of got him reading because it was like a comic book. And so it wasn't boring to him. But this isn't like an affiliation for an ad for anything. We just think they're great books, and we think that great books should be in your home.
Yeah, I really enjoyed reading. Someone had given me some of the Christian Heroes books, and I had never read them as a child or anything, but I read them to my youngest daughter, and actually, I need to go find them to start reading to my granddaughter. They're just great stories of missionaries and, you know, what you might call like saints or, you know, just these kind of great heroes of the faith that we can imitate and that we can sort of look to and say, okay, this is what it means to pursue holiness, to not look like the world, but to be set apart. So, okay, y'all, that is all we have for you today. We're going to put the links to those books as well for you in the show notes so that you can go check them out. Now, we're going to be going all summer long. So even if your schedule is a little bit different, we hope that you can still check in midweek with us and be encouraged and equipped to do this hard work for the glory of God and the discipleship of your children. So y'all have a great week. And until next time, go and be brave.